I would like to talk to you just for a few moments from the subject, keep the fire burning. Keep the fire burning. Many times you hear someone say that church is really on fire. Or maybe they'll say that person is really on fire for the Lord. We want to consider words from the Bible that should encourage us to keep the fires burning in our life for always. We can keep that fire burning with God's help. And not just in our individual lives, but in the life of this church also. As we examine our text, there are some questions we need to ask and try to answer as we consider this fire. First of all, what is this fire? The scripture tells us what this fire is. Over and over in the Old Testament, we're reminded of the symbol of fire. The fire first appears as Moses sees a bush burning in the desert, but it is not being consumed. Moses has often seen bushes burning in the desert, but he had never seen one that wasn't being consumed. So Moses went over to see that bush, and he heard a voice. And that voice said, "Take off your shoes, Moses, for the ground on which you are standing is holy ground." Moses removes his shoes and began a meeting with the Lord God. Then we see Moses leading the people of Israel. The Bible tells us they were led by a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Then we see on the mountaintop, the top of Mount Sinai, that there was a burning fire because of the presence of God. And God's voice came and called for Moses. And Moses went up and received the Ten Commandments that were written by God. And also on the Emmaus Road, the two disciples who were walking and had an encounter with the risen Christ says, were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us? Do you see what the fire represents? The fire represents the presence of the Almighty God. It wasn't the burning bush that made the meeting with Moses holy. It was the presence of the Almighty God. God himself led the children of Israel. It wasn't the emotional moment of the day which created the fire for the disciples. It was the very presence of Jesus Christ. When you give your life to Christ, he places a fire within you to grow and become more and more like him. Sadly, though that fire begins to die out, it becomes a flickering flame where once it was an inferno for him. What happened? Well, let's consider our next question. Whose responsibility is it to keep the fire burning in our hearts and in our church? Here in Leviticus, it's clear that it's the priest's responsibility in verse 12. So it is the pastor's responsibility. It is the responsibility of the church staff. You might even say it's the responsibility of the Sunday school teachers. But as New Testament Christians, we must remember what Paul said in 1 Peter 2 and 9. But you are chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Every Christian is God's priest.
Amen.
Should I say that again?
Yes.
Yes.
Every Christian is God's priest.
Yes. Amen. Yeah.
So it was the responsibility of the priest to carry people to God and to carry God back to people. Take people to God through prayer. Take people and take God to people through his word. And it is our responsibility then to be God's priest. We are to pray for our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and our family. And we are to take God to our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, and family by sharing his word. So whose responsibility is it to carry the fire?
Ours.
It's ours. Yeah. So if you don't get anything else out of what I'm saying today, you remember it is our responsibility, not just me, mm-hmm. not just the choir, not just the ushers, but everybody.
Amen.
It is the responsibility of all of us to carry this fire and keep it burning, because we all are priests. Have you ever heard anyone say, oh, our church is just so cold? I just don't feel anything there anymore. I'm sure a few of you have heard that before. I'm not talking about this particular church. But you've heard that. But here is the word. If you feel your church is cold, then you go in on fire and heat that place up.
Amen.
It doesn't have to be cold if you'll set it on fire. It only takes a spark to get a fire going. You warm up somebody, and then that person warms up someone else, and then they warm up someone else, and soon the whole church will be on fire.
Amen.
For Jesus. Amen. It's time for us to be on fire for Jesus. And it's our responsibility.
We are the church.
And you know what? People can tell as soon as they walk in a church if it's on fire or not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can tell.
Oh, yes.
A man was on a business trip one weekend, and he would be unable to attend his church on that Sunday. So on Sunday morning, he asked the man at the front desk if there was a church nearby that he could visit. He was told that there was a church about 2 miles away that he could attend. So the man drove a couple of miles down the road and found the church. He walked in the front door and saw some folks in the foyer, but no one spoke to him. He entered the sanctuary and saw people scattered around the sanctuary. He took a seat a few pews from the back. The organist began to playing a prelude. The choir came out and sang a call to worship. There were prayers and hymns and special music. Then the pastor brought an encouraging sermon. The invitation was given. No one went forward, and the congregation was dismissed. At all this time, no one spoke to the man. He had forgotten a few items for his trip, and he decided to make a trip to Walmart. He walks in the front door, and someone greets him with a big smile and says, "Hello, welcome to Walmart. If you need any help at all, just let us know." The man smiled and said, "Thank you, I will." He had found a few of his items when an associate approached him. "Sir, are you having trouble finding something? The man said, yes, I need to buy some eye drops. The associate tells him that he can help him and take the man to the eye drop section of the pharmacy. He offers to help him with anything else, but the man says he's done shopping now. The man walks towards the front door of the store, and an associate greets him and directs him to the checkout counter. As the man is leaving, the same person who greeted him said, have a good day, sir, and come back and see us. The man said, I will. As he's walking to his car, he thinks to himself, the church gave an invitation, but no one joined. If Walmart had given an invitation, I would have joined. Now, Walmart has a motive for being so friendly because they want your business. They are trying to make money. But don't we as the church have something so much more valuable than anything you can find at Walmart?
Amen.
We show love and hospitality for the purpose of pointing people to Christ. On this week, my husband and I, we went to support one of my coworkers who lost his father. And when we went to the church, as soon as we parked in the parking lot and we were walking to the church, someone greeted us. As we walked in the door, someone greeted us. As we went to sit down, someone greeted us. We felt welcome. We didn't feel out of place. Mm-hmm. It was a lovely place, and they had a worship service. It was a wake. And then they had a little service. They had singing. They had people coming up and giving remarks. But we could see how loving my coworker's dad really was. He was 80-something years old. And they said he had been in that church for over 50 years. Everyone had so much good to say about him, how he didn't judge them. There was one girl who was just crying hysterically because he touched her life. That's how we want to be. We want people to remember that we touched their lives. We have to shine the light of Jesus. We have to keep our fire burning. We need people of all ages to carry the fire. A church without young people might dry up. But a church without old people, it might blow up. We need the senior adults to help carry the fire because you look at life as no other age can. From the other end of the spectrum, we need you to be involved because of your wisdom and experience. We need the young people to be involved because of your energy and enthusiasm. And they can't use that I'm just a youth as an excuse not to join in God's great work. Jeremiah tried that, and God said to him, do not say, I am only a youth. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you. To those that are in between, we need you because you are out there in the real world. You know the needs and how best to meet those needs. We rely on you to lead this church in taking the light of his fire into a sin-darkened world. So we said the fire, it represents God's presence. And we said, who is to keep the fire burning? We said that we are all called to help keep the fire burning. So now the question is, how do we keep the fire burning? You have to cultivate and nurture the fire by communicating with the Lord and spending time with him. If you think about a real fire, I often watch Naked and Afraid. I like to see how they use their survival techniques. And you notice that they're usually in some environment that at night is really, really cold. And they have to tend to the fire. They have to make sure that there's a fire. And they don't want the fire to go out, because sometimes, I've seen a few episodes, they didn't even have the fire starter. And they had to do it like with the stick and the... And it took them a long time, a few days, to get the fire started. So they don't want the fire to go out. So in order for the fire not to go out, what do you have to do? You have to keep feeding the fire. You have to nurture the fire. You have to keep tend to it, right? So that's the same way with us, the fire, the presence of God. We have to nurture it. We have to spend time with the Lord. We have to talk to the Lord. We have to allow God to talk to us. We have to go out and tell people about Jesus. We can't be afraid. Because when we're in need, we're quick to say, Lord, help me. God, I need your help. So we should be quick to say, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? We should be able to stand up for the Lord. Jesus is the light of the world. Take what you've learned, do more research, and then go out and tell everybody. Because the Bible says that God says, Jesus says, if you are ashamed of me, then I'm going to be ashamed of you to my Father. We don't want that to happen. And then, how do you think our Lord feels when you don't spend quality time talking with him? How do you think he feels when we say a quick prayer in the morning and forget to converse with him at any other time during the day? So how do we keep this fire burning? We pray. We talk with God throughout the day. Lord, I feel this difficult day coming on. I need you to help me out. Lord, show me where you're working at today. Empower me to join in that work. Lord, I see that person over there that needs some help. Give me what to say. Help me to encourage him or her. I want to be empowered to help my community. The other way that we can keep the fire burning is hearing God's word, the word of the Lord. Prayer is primarily us talking to God. And I know he talks with us in prayer, but it's mostly us talking to God. So we turn to his word to hear from him. That's God talking to us. That's part of the communication process. The word of God will keep you from sin, but also sin will keep you from the word of God. See how that works? The word of God will keep you from sin, but sin will keep you from the word of God. You're burning with his fire, and that will keep you in his word. But as you grow cold, you move further and further away from God's word. You move further and further away from coming to church. You move further and further away from talking about Jesus. So we have to keep the word burning in our hearts. Lastly, a third way to keep the fire burning is Christian service. There was a pastor, Dr. Truett, told the story about a young man who began to visit their church. He was very faithful and was there every time the doors were open. As time went by, the young man began to miss a service every once in a while. After some more time, he was only attending about once a month. Soon, he would hardly ever be at the church. This young man went to visit Dr. Truitt one afternoon, and he said, "Dr. Truitt, I don't know what's happening, but I've lost that fire I once had. Can you help me?" Dr. Truitt, the young man, he would like to help him, but at this moment, he had a meeting, and he needed to attend. He asked the young man, "Do me a favor." He said, "One of our members lives right down the street. We haven't seen him for a few days. Would you mind taking a walk down to his house and checking on him? And when you get back, I should be able to spend some time with you." The young man found the house, knocked on the door, and heard a voice say, "Come in." He entered the house and saw an elderly gentleman sitting by the window. He noticed right away that this gentleman was blind. The young man said, "Dr. Truitt asked me to come by and check on you. Are you doing okay?" The gentleman said yes, and he appreciated the young man stopping by. The young man asked, "Is there anything I can do for you?" The gentleman said he would like for the young man to read the Bible to him. He said, "I believe it's sitting right over there. You can turn to where the bookmark is. That's where the last person stopped reading." The young man opened the Bible, and the bookmark was at Romans chapter 8. And he began to reading to the gentleman, "If Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the spirit is life because of righteousness. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also through his spirit and dwells in you. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know that all things work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose." When the young man finished reading, tears were flowing down his eyes. He looked at the gentleman, and tears was in his eyes as well. The two hugged one another, and the gentleman thanked the young man for his visit and invited him back at any time. The young man said he would like that. He returned to Dr. Truitt's office and said, "Sir, I'm okay now. I got the fire back." Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So how do we keep this fire burning? Through prayer, through Bible study, and through Christian service. Ask God what you can do. There's something all of us can do, and all of us don't have to do the same thing. What God has for you to do might be something no one else is doing in this church. There are needs all around us. Ask God to open your eyes and empower you to do the work he has already begun. So we have seen the fire represents God's presence. We are all responsible for keeping the fire burning. We keep the fire burning through prayer, studying his word, and by Christian service. As I close, it should be our prayer that this church, other churches in the area, and all churches around this world that stand for Jesus will be on fire for God. May it be that we are on fire more than we have ever been before. May it be that when a lost person comes by, they might say, "I don't know why I'm here. I just felt that something was persuading me to come in here and see what's going on." May it be that this church is so on fire that the people in this community say, "There are wonderful things happening at that church. Things that can't be explained. Things that only God can do." So I admonish you on this morning. Let's keep the fire burning. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for letting us know we need to keep the fire burning. God, I pray that you touch each and every person's heart that has heard your word, oh God. God, compel them to keep the fire burning. Let them know that you are the only true and living God, and that they will serve you. Let them not be ashamed to spread the gospel of Jesus, for it is the power of God that we need in this day and time. So touch each and every one under the sound of my voice, that they may be what you have called them to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.